Nashville-based trio High Lonesome has only been around for a little over a year, but they've already released an EP and a full-length album. The latter is titled Get Some Young, and the band released it on the Let's Talk Figures label at the end of October. Earlier this week, Martin Bemberg, Dick Darden, and Sean Johnson stopped by the Firman Garner Performance Studio to discuss the new album. During our conversation, Martin, former Memphis Pencils frontman, said after spending some time as a solo act, he gave himself a deadline for forming another band.
So 13 to 23, I was in bands constantly, no breaks, you know, three different bands probably, dating back to, like, you know, being in middle school. So I was just so used to it, and I just got really kind of creatively lonely, I guess, playing music by myself. And it's fun to record by myself, but it's not fun to perform by myself. And, you know, it's just... I actually performed at the Arkansas Times Music Showcase, but I played by myself, and I played with, like, pre-programmed beats, like electronic beats and stuff, and I'd play, like, bass or guitar over it and sing, and it was a disaster. And a lot of the judges said, like, you should get a band. I mean, I already knew that, but it just it took forever. And I think it was Sean who told me, and I didn't realize this until he told me that, you know, when I was searching for people to play with, one of the reasons I couldn't find anybody is because the, you know, they assumed the music was going to be so difficult to learn because Memphis Pencils was really, like, kind of proggy as far as pop goes, you know, it was pretty wild in time signature and, you know, song structure and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, I just set up this show and I just said, okay, I have to form a band by August 1st or bust.
Is it August 1st?
Or August 3rd, maybe.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that early.
Yeah,
it
was pretty early.
I mean, we met, like, Dick, I met Dick, I don't know if y'all two knew each other.
Very first practice.
Yeah, I met Dick at our first practice. I think we had two practices before that show.
Yeah. It wasn't a lot.
And we played, like, seven songs.
Six songs, I think. I think we played everything that ended up on Sloppy Gospel plus... Hawkeye, which we sort of ended up scrapping.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sloppy Gospel was our
EP.
EP, yeah.
Well, how did you guys meet then? Did you just put out a Craigslist ad and said, somebody show up, please, to my band practice? Yeah.
No, I had actually known Martin for quite a while. Jim and Gary Sloan, they were in the Memphis Pencils with Martin. Shout out to the Sloan Boys. We graduated from the same high school in Harrison. I'd always been around, met Martin a few times, gone to the Memphis Pencils shows, and... you know, afterwards, you know, when Memphis Pencils was over, we talked a few times about playing music, you know, it's kind of loosely. A lot of musicians do that, like, yeah, we'll get together and play music, you know, yeah, cool. And then one day, out of the blue, Martin's just like, do you want to play the show with me? And I was like, yeah, I'll come try, you know, and see if it works. And, yeah, I mean, right away, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Okay. Yeah, it is difficult music, but it was it's very fun music.
Well, how is this project different from Memphis Pencils? Did you bring that difficult music with you?
Kind of made it more concise, I'd say.
Songier.
Like
songier.
More of the capital S song, like tunes, you know, is what we go for. You know? The 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. That's pretty much every one of our songs,
intro,
right?
Tag, whatever.
Tags at the end of the codas at the end every once in a while, you know. Just pretty traditional A, B, C, B sort of song structure. But we still throw in, like, you know, Memphis Pencils did a lot of stuff where the time signature would just, like, be, you know, pretty much nothing because it would vary per measure. With this stuff, there's just, like, hints of that everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of times it's just like there'll be a definite song, like a definite time signature, but sometimes you have to just, like, follow the melody or whatever, and so you just kind of set the time signature aside for a little bit until you get that melody part out or whatever. Or it's just
a lot of times you just have to follow the melody.
Yeah, you just have to follow the melody, and, like, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to.
We could do it like an example, like,
oh yeah, sure,
just like the. That verse of Ain't Seen the Sun.
So I'll clap for the, like, snare beats, but it's da, na, 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 na.
So, like,
Like where it's where basically like the beat turns around, so where the 2 and the 4 were, that's where the 1 and 3 were. So. And then it does that, flips it back again in the next measure. So you could either like just stay straight ahead and then you'll be off for a measure and then you'll be back on, or you can follow the melody
and it sounds like, "Oh, can't you see what winter's done to me? And see the sun, can't you see what winter's done to me? And see the sun."
So I mean, it's like,
you can't count to 4 all the time.
Gotcha. Well, how would you label your music then, or what would you call it?
It's definitely pop.
Okay.
Like rock, I mean, pop rock, but kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'd say it's all, even if it's not necessarily like about upbeat things, you know, I'd say it's all pretty well upbeat still, you know, even our like, there's nothing that feels like super sad or like super slow. It's all
the melodies are all quite light and upbeat.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of like minor key stuff going on here and there, and stuff that's kind of like, I don't know, not overtly happy, but it still is more upbeat rather than, you know, it's not like sad people music. I don't really call it.
Fair.
I like to say we're a melodic rock and roll band.
Yeah, melodic, okay. Yeah.
That's a good word.
Melodic American rock and roll.
American at times.
Yeah.
British
American.
A little bit too sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of Paul McCartney influence there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the title of the brand new full-length album, your debut full-length album, I read that it got its name from a collection of short stories. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I just thought, I mean, I thought it sounded great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a Barry Hannah short story collection called High Lonesome. I just thought High Lonesome, before I knew what it meant, you know, which is like Bill Monroe's self, you know.
That like bluegrass,
you know.
Genre.
Like, I don't even know.
Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Yeah. Like really
so it's a genre?
Sort of, yeah, well, yeah. Like his kind of, like Bill Monroe's like sort of unique sort of singing style, I guess. Like, but I didn't know what it meant. I just thought it sounded cool and it sounded like a good band name. But
yeah,
you know,
when I asked him, was like, "Hey, do you have a band name?" And he said, "I was thinking about calling it High Lonesome." And I was like, "Oh, like Bill Monroe." And he was like, "What? Wait, no, like Barry Hannah." And so it was like, I'm sure Barry Hannah probably got the name like from Bill Monroe, you know, or whatever. But it kind of has multiple connotations or whatever for different people. But you know, I guess it came from, you know. Yeah, Hannah's short stories.
And then the name of the album is Get Some Young, which is the first short story in that collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, are you a fan of Southern writers or literature?
Oh, yeah,
or?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting nods from Dick here.
Martin, I would characterize Martin as someone who's very literate and very Southern at the same time, like in a, I don't know, you just have a sense of, I think your writing style and a lot of your lyrics tend to have like the hallmarks of like Southern writing. I don't know. Barry Hannah is one of those people who's kind of like known for that. In the same sense, you might hear like William Faulkner or Flannery O'Connor or whatever, but he's just not as like nationally known outside of maybe more literary circles, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's a writer's writer.
Yeah, okay. A writer's writer, yeah.
Well, do you try to bring sort of that poetry to your lyrics when you're writing songs?
Certainly don't try.
You don't try?
But,
it just happens?
He is a more lyrical, poetic, so he has a poetic voice. I mean, I guess he started off as a poet, Barry Hannah did. Mm-hmm. I don't consciously try to invoke or, you know, inject anyone else's voice into my own lyrics. It just kind of seems to come out, and whatever fits, you know. I do.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the, you know, the lyric writing process is definitely the most arduous.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time, and it's a little, I'm way more perfectionistic about it. That's why writing Craigslist Peter was such a joy, because Sean and I collaborated on the lyrics, and I mean we finished them in one night, you know. And usually it takes me most of the songs I write, like I write and record a demo, I write the whole thing and record a demo in 24 hours, just like, you know, go without sleep. And so to do Craigslist Peter was
it all happened about probably over the course of an hour. We just you know, it was a really interesting concept that we had landed on to write the song about, and just bouncing ideas off just kind of manifested itself in this you know, really interesting song.
Well, can you tell me what this song is about? It's one of 11 tracks on the new album, but what is Craigslist Peter about?
So one day I was, I get bored sometimes when I get on Craigslist and look at rants and raves. You know, it's a source of like really quick entertainment because people just say the most ridiculous things on there. This one, though, was about a guy who, you know, was an undisclosed office, of course, you know, it was all anonymous, but he was in his office. There was a woman that was glancing at his, I guess, Peter gazing is that the word for it.
So what, I think that's what he said, right?
Was yeah, Peter gazing. And he didn't know what to do about it. You know, he was like, what?
The title of the rants that ran and rave was Question for the Ladies. Right?
Question for the Ladies.
Yeah. Like, what do I do about this girl's checking me out downstairs? Like, what?
Does it mean that she likes me? Does it mean, you know, in his head was just filled with...
My fly unzipped, yeah.
That's probably what it was, yeah.
And, I just saw that. I just thought it was hilarious. You know, I'm sure just about every man has kind of had that...
Sure.
That thought go through his mind. you know, so we basically just got in his head and wondered, like, yeah, how would that make you feel?
So we wrote the song from his perspective.
Oh.
There's a lot of good lines in there, though. I thought that was one of the...
Lyrically, it's one of the most interesting, I think.
One of the funniest
And it was
ones.
The first time that we took, lyrically, took someone else's perspective. And I think it's the only one we do that on this song. I mean, on this album. But the newer batch of songs...
Has a couple of, like...
At least two...
Tongue-in-cheek narrative perspective kind of thing.
Like,
you know,
poking fun at vanity and, you know...
Yeah.
Well, one of the songs that I thought was interesting was Why So Easy For You? It's... You know, very light and kind of bouncy, but it's kind of a sad song. And
Oh, it's a real sad song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why didn't you change the melody of that to kind of match the lyrics? Because usually sad people music, as we've discussed, you know, that you have the sad lyrics and kind of the lower.
It's kind of sad. Yeah, I mean, the verse has a ton of minor chords in it, you know.
It still just sounds very surf,
yeah, the chorus
rock
is
poppy.
Very,
It is, but it's like kind of an upbeat retro poppy lament.
I think the saddest the saddest that that song could probably as it is could ever sound would be like that sadness of like it's the 50s at some like dance in a gymnasium and like somebody's you know real upset about something you know and it's you know, not like a really like tragic type thing you know but it's still kind of like you know there's just sort of that like kind of bittersweet sadness.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like a lot of those doo-wop chords with those, you know, like so there's a lot of minor stuff in there, you know, and so it's kind of...
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a variety of you have a variety of topics that you cover in your music. You know, did you try and have a theme or these are just things that just sort of came to you, like the Craigslist
song? I feel like it kind of just happens. You know, it's kind of an eclectic group of... musicians, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. We do listen to similar music. When we first got together, it was just a clashing of a lot of.
We all had different ideas of what we wanted the band to be. I think too, when we first got in there,
we did agree that like our number one priority was to make girls dance.
That was, I think that was like the mission statement.
Marketing.
Yeah. You know, because, girls dance.
It's good marketing because you make the girls want to be there and then the guys want to be there. If the girls like it, then the guys want to be there.
I think something worth noting is that like there's 11 songs on this album and 4 of them we redid off the EP. Mm-hmm. It's funny because, like, Take You Home, for instance, there's, like, what, 4 or 5 different recorded versions of them? Uh-huh. What I was getting at was that a lot of these songs, like, some of them are newer, like Craigslist Peter, you know, My Name is Reverie. Some of those are newer. Yeah, It's Dawn. And then some of those are, like, you know, 2-3 years old, right?
Say the Way You Say Hello, Why So Easy For You, Take You Home, that I recorded, solo in 2011.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I was living in Austin, all lonely and stuff. Lonely and poor.
So you guys brought your instruments with me. You want to play something for me?
Yeah.
Why So Easy For You?
For a while, then with you in my side. you're feeling so fine, couldn't stand your miles. Now, in dreams I can't bear, you come like a ghost, one beautiful boast of your glowing.
That was Martin Bemberg, Dick Darden, and Sean Johnson, the three members of High Lonesome. The group's latest album, Get Some Young, is available now at highlonesome-ar.bandcamp.com. The group's next show is scheduled for January 17th at the Lightbulb Club. For more, visit facebook.com/highlonesome.ar.